Salazar, and our next segment is with Dr. Arne Buss. He received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. He's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. His passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communication. He works with both individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey area. He's also a distinguished Toastmaster. And in 2011, he was a semifinalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking. So he joins us on the first and third Thursdays of every month with Speaking of Listening. So let's listen to Dr. Arne Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Well, thank you, Salazar, and welcome to Speaking of Listening, as Salazar said, right here on Good Vibrations Radio. I'm your host for this segment, Arne Buss, as Salazar so nicely mentioned. Speaking of listening is all about ways of improving your relationships by learning to listen and communicate from your heart. And you can contact me for information about upcoming workshops. My email address is ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. That's ahbuss, B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart.com. And remember that listening is not just hearing what the other person is saying. It's much more than that. It's about engaging the other person in a dialogue and establishing that heart-centered connection that I was referring to. Now, today I'm going to take a page from a very famous researcher in relationships named Dr. John Gottman. He's pretty well known for his work over many decades, and he's continuing it after having retired with a very distinguished career at the University of Washington. And he introduced a couple of many different concepts, as well as establishing a scientific way of studying relationships. And I'm going to talk about some of these because I think that they're very useful and important, and there are some areas where I feel that his approach could be made even more effective with some of the communication approaches that I've been talking about. And so I'm going to talk about a nice concept that he has, or it's actually a not so nice concept called the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse for relationships. And then I'm going to talk about how those four horsemen can be overcome with tracking and impact statements. And then another distinction that he makes is between criticism and complaints, and he recommends using complaints instead of criticisms. And in my, from my perspective, an impact statement is far more effective than even a complaint. So I'll be giving you some details about that as the segment progresses. So John Gottman is a professor emeritus at University of Washington, and after retiring, he is heading with his wife, Julie, a nonprofit institute called Relationship Research Institute and a for-profit therapist training organization called the Gottman Institute. And they're not paying me for saying that at all. He's had many decades of scientific studies of relationships, scholarly articles and books, as well as a couple of popular books that I would recommend reading. I've read both of them, and I think that they're very useful for relationships. The first is called Why Marriages Succeed or Fail, and the second is called Seven Principles for Making Marriage Work. Now, in those, he talks about what he calls the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse for relationships. And these are four different categories of things that he has observed that contribute to making relationships troubled. And those four horsemen are criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. And as I mentioned, he advocates using complaints instead of criticisms, and I'll get into that a little bit. Now, one very useful thing that he does talk about is that he observed that anger and fighting in a couple, in and of themselves, was not necessarily an indicator of a troubled relationship. In fact, he found that many very healthy relationships, one or both of the couple would often become angry, or they would have conflicts and fighting. In fact, he observed healthy couples, couples in healthy relationships, that actually fought about things that they were never able to resolve. So, it's quite possible that there are conflicts that can't be resolved. I certainly advocate for resolving conflicts, but that's sort of another thing. And so his research indicated that it's not so much having the anger as much as it is how it's being expressed, and that's completely in line with the philosophy and the approach that I'm talking about here. And also how it's not so much that a couple is fighting, but it's how the fights are conducted that make the difference. And again, I believe that using the communication tools that I talk about, especially impact statements and tracking, and especially tracking, can help really turn what would be a fight into a more constructive dialogue. That's really what I'm after. So in those areas, I differ from him in terms of my recommendation. So I want to talk about the four horsemen and then how it can be overcome with either tracking or impact statement. So I am completely convinced that each of the four horsemen can be overcome with either tracking or an impact statement. Part of the narrative that's presented in this is when both couples are descending into the same sort of thing. In other words, when one criticizes when one partner criticizes the other, then they will respond with one of the four horsemen. So somebody who hears criticism will respond with defensiveness, for example. That's a very common response. Or they may respond with a criticism of their own. So my recommendation is that when you hear a criticism, then track. As I've talked about this before, and I'll give just a few examples based on some of the things that I've seen in their materials. And instead of a complaint, again, a complaint I believe is marginally better than a criticism, but it's a complaint is still not, I feel, a very effective way of resolving the problem, whereas an impact statement is. So, for example, a criticism that's offered is, one spouse says something like this: "You never think about how your behavior is affecting other people. I don't believe that you're that forgetful. You're just selfish. You never think of others. You never think of me." Now, obviously, that's somebody who's very upset, you know. And when you hear kind of a litany of criticisms like that, one after the other, first of all, responding in a defensive way is not effective. Responding in a counter-attacking criticism way is certainly not effective either. A tracking response, I feel, is the most effective way to respond to that. And in a case like this, what you want to do is respond to the most salient point that's being made. Often, not always, but much of the time, that is the very last thing that's being said. So in the criticism that I just stated, the last sentence, "You never think of me," is to me the salient point, and that's the one that can be tracked. And depending on how much energy it's being given, you either go through the four W's if it's low to medium energy, but if it's high energy, then you can go right to the want. And so, you never think of me, you know. So you want to be assured that your needs are going to be taken into account. Again, validate the other person. So a criticism does not have to be has to have to lead into a descent into a counterproductive thing. Now, what they recommend is, in the way of complaint, is something like this. I was scared when you were running late and didn't call me. I thought we had agreed that we would do that for each other. Now, that's not bad, but those of you who've heard about impact statements will immediately note that it mixed pronouns. So when it says, I was scared when you, and the thing about an impact statement, whenever you're expressing your needs and you use the word you, then the other person is going to respond like shields up. So most people, when they hear, when you were running late, okay, so something is coming in, incoming, even though it's more gentle than the general criticism of you never think of me, it was still kind of pointing the finger. So that you in there is like a you statement. And then we say, I thought we, again, we is not to be used in impact statements because you don't want to include the other person. You want to be expressing just your needs. You say, we had agreed. Now you can, instead of saying that, now that's actually not too bad, but I would rephrase it as, you know, I thought the agreement had been to call when running late. The other thing that I'm concerned about this statement is, say, when I was scared when you were running late, that seems to me that it's blaming the other person for their feelings. And the thing is that nobody can make you feel anything. And if you start blaming, even by implication, that the other person has made you feel something, then that's just very counterproductive. So instead of a complaint, I would recognize that there's an opportunity for an impact statement. So instead of scared, you say, in fact, you'd start with the agreement for an impact statement. You know, I was under the impression that there was an agreement to call when running late. And this evening, that didn't happen, and I'd like to understand why. Or maybe it wasn't clear about the agreement. Again, there could be many different reasons why something had or hadn't happened. The question is whether your response is going to lead to an understanding and a resolution, or is going to lead to defensiveness. And so my experience is that even complaints that they recommend often lead to defensiveness. Now, contempt is kind of a different matter, but the key to contempt is, like, if your partner shows contempt, and Gottman says that this is by far the worst of these. And the first thing is, you remember Q-tip, to quit taking it personally. Don't take that personally. And, you know, just like the second agreement, if the other person is expressing contempt, then it's probably a matter of having long-standing resentments and them gunny-sacking a lot of these resentments. So instead of taking it personally, you can track and validate their concerns. Defensiveness. Now, defensiveness is again one of those things where a lot of people respond to criticism with defensiveness. And here's an example where the wife says, "Did you call Betty and Ralph to let them know that we're not coming tonight as you promised this morning?" Again, not an unreasonable statement. And the husband responds, "I was just too darn busy today. As a matter of fact, you know just how busy my schedule was. Why didn't you do it?" And they correctly identified that as a defensive response. In other words, the husband didn't do it, and even though he agreed to it, and instead, tried to kind of put it back on her. Now, the wife, in turn, doesn't have to take that. So what the wife can do is, hearing defensiveness, is track it. And again, the last thing that he said was, "Why didn't you just do it?" I would just put that aside for now and just say, "You know how busy my schedule was." And so, in fact, you could offer a gentle challenge. Gentle challenge might be something like, so your busy schedule today caught you by surprise so that you weren't able to make the call. The reason that's a gentle challenge is because did he know or not know how busy his schedule was? And so now the ball is kind of back in his court. So, you know, again, tracking is it's all about validating and empathizing, but it's not about being a doormat either. Now, of the four horsemen, stonewalling is the trickiest to deal with. And a lot depends on, you know, stonewalling is when the other person withdraws from the whole interaction. The thing to understand about stonewalling is that usually it comes from a place where of a person not feeling safe. In other words, if they have been under a barrage of criticism or contempt, then they may feel like, well, you know, there's just no use. I'm going to lose every time. And so they just check out because that's a way of keeping themselves safe. So now to someone who does that, I would recommend using tracking to validate the criticism or other things that are coming at them. But to the one dealing with the other person stonewalling, again, it a lot depends on how it's happening. If in the conversation the other person just kind of goes silent, then what you can do is you can track the silence. And silence in that case usually indicates that they're not feeling comfortable or they're not okay with something that was just said. So, you know, again, so you might say, so this conversation is, so you're feeling uncomfortable about what's being discussed here. Or you might say, so there was something about the last statement that didn't feel okay with you. Again, if you can validate the silence and the withdrawal. And my experience has been that if you have ongoing empathetic tracking, then the stonewalling is likely to be diminished because it creates an environment in which the other person feels safe and they feel heard. So you can track emotional withdrawal and you can track silence. So all of the four horsemen can be overcome with the tools of tracking and impact statements. Now, to close, I want to come back to this criticism versus complaint. And I certainly agree that criticism is a negative influence on any relationship. You're putting the other person down, you know, and there are indicator words like you're always late or you never think of me or always and never are kind of key words to indicate that a criticism is coming. And as I've spoken before, you know, criticism can always be tracked. You know, so when you hear criticism, don't take it personally and track the pain. Don't take the blame. And understand that underneath every criticism, there's probably a grain of truth. In other words, there's something some legitimate thing that's going on with the other person that ought to be validated. The beauty of tracking is that tracking can help you identify what that is and address it. Because if you don't know what that is, if you stick to just kind of what the surface presentation is of the criticism, then you never get to what the real issue is. And tracking can help you get to that what that real issue is. Now, again, they recommend using a complaint instead of a criticism. So, here's another example. You never help around the house. You're so lazy. You know, okay, so you never help around the house. Of course, that's a you statement. You're so lazy. I mean, that's more of a criticism. And what makes that damaging is that it's the first one. You never help around the house. Again, it's not an effective way to express that, but it's addressing behavior. When you say you're so lazy, you're putting down the other person, and that's very damaging to a relationship. Or you always leave stuff everywhere. You're so messy. Okay, so again, you always leave stuff everywhere. Even that is addressing behavior, but you're so messy is a put down of the person. And so they recommend, you know, recommend is turning those into complaints. So instead of saying you never help around the house, you're so lazy, they recommend something like, I'm angry that you didn't take the trash out earlier this morning, even though I asked you to get it out there before the trash pickup. Okay, so now that's an improvement. But again, you'll notice that they mix pronouns. You didn't take the trash out earlier this morning, even though I asked you to get it out. Again, that's kind of sticking a little knife in and twisting it. So even though it's not as damaging as "you're so lazy," and it's specific, and that's a positive thing about it, it still puts the other person down. It still makes them wrong. And the key to an impact statement is not making the other person wrong. So an impact statement in this situation would be something like, this morning I asked that the trash be taken out before the pickup. And I was under the impression that that would be done. And now I come to find that it hasn't been done. And I'd like to understand why, or I'd like to be assured that in the future, whenever the trash is requested, that it be done, and that I can be assured that it will be done. Something like that. And that is less criticizing than the complaint and keeps the other person safer and yet still addresses the problem. And you know, you don't want to be a doormat. You don't want to just accept the fact that maybe that a request was made and the impression was given that it would be done and it wasn't done, and you just kind of let it go. You don't want to let it go. That's not an effective thing. And that's why impact statements can be so useful. So instead of "you're so messy, you always leave stuff everywhere," one of their suggestions was, "It upset me when I came home and the laundry was still in the washer. You had promised me that you would put it in the dryer before you left for work." Now, what? Again, that mixes pronouns, and it kind of puts the other person down, although not as much as the criticism might. But the other thing, the first one, it wasn't bad. When I came home and the laundry was still in the washer again, that could be an element of an impact statement. And then instead of "you had promised me you would put it in the dryer before you left for work," you turn that around, say, you know, I was assured, or I was promised that it would be put in the dryer before leaving for work this morning. My biggest issue with this is in the first three words. "It upset me when I came home." My issue with that is that's blaming the other person for their feelings. In other words, when you do this, it upsets me. When you do this, I feel angry. That's a very common structure for a so-called I message. But the meta message, the underlying message of that, when you express it that way, is that the other person is to blame through their behavior for your feelings. So you're to blame for me feeling angry. You're to blame for me being upset because you didn't do what you promised. And the issue that I have with that is that adopting a stance that the other person is responsible for your feelings is not an effective, heart-centered way to be. Because the fact is that nobody can make you feel anything. No, your feelings are your own. Now, that doesn't mean they're illegitimate. If you feel angry, you're angry. If you feel upset, you're upset. You have a right to that. But it's not effective in a relationship to blame the other person for that, even implicitly. And when you say, "It upset me when I came home and the laundry wasn't done," then you're blaming your partner for your being upset instead of taking responsibility for your feelings and addressing the behavior. And if you address it with an impact statement, then that avoids all of that. So just to briefly recap, I've mentioned some of the important work that John Gottman has done. I've talked about the Four Horsemen and how the Four Horsemen can be overcome with tracking and impact statements, and how using impact statements is even more effective than the complaints that the Gottmans recommend. And so until next time, you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. I have been your host, Arnie Buss. I appreciate so much that you've joined me today. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every first and third Thursday at 5:35 right here on Good Vibrations Radio. To learn more about effective listening and more on my workshops and relationship building, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. That's A-H-B-U-S-S at consciousawareheart, all one word, .com. You can like me on Facebook at Aware Heart, all one word, or follow me on Twitter at Effect5Com. That's Effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.
So I want to thank Dr. Arnie Buss for sharing his Speaking of Listening with us. And we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back to close out Good Vibrations Radio on this Thursday evening.